Hi, everybody. Welcome back to a brand new episode of Tea with Janae. I'm your host, Janae Kirshner of Janae Kirshner Photography, and the creator of Submission Support, our monthly membership to help you curate and submit your next wedding. Tea with Janae is where we give real advice, tangible tips, and thoughtful insight about what it's really like to be a wedding photographer. I'm so excited about today's brand new episode because I'm chatting with Kari Bjorn all about how to increase your wedding bookings through surprise proposals. Kari shares his personal story about how he found a new niche in his area to specialize in proposals, which has led to increasing his annual income year after year. A little bit about Kari before we get started is that he's an Icelandic wedding and elopement photographer. Kari's work revolves around vibrant colors, energy, and movement. He's been a full-time wedding photographer since 2020 and is currently based in Connecticut. I'm so excited for Kari, and I hope you like today's episode. So let's grab a tea and enjoy the show. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. I'm so excited you guys are here. I have a wonderful guest on the line today. Kari, can you say hi to everybody?
Hello there. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for coming on. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you for having me on the show today.
You're welcome. So excited to chat today. I'm really excited because this is a good topic and one that I really want to pick your brain about. We're going to be talking about how to increase your wedding bookings through surprise proposals. I get dozens of proposal requests a week, so I'm excited to talk to someone who actually shoots them and knows what to do with them. So thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks again. I'm really excited to talk about this. It's been a reasonable boost to my wedding bookings shooting proposal. So it's going to be fun to dive into this topic and talk to your listeners about how to set it up and how to convert the proposals into weddings.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. Okay, cool. Well, before we get started, let's introduce you to everyone who's listening. Can you share a little bit more about you, your business, and how you got started?
Absolutely. Yeah, my name is Kari Bjorn. I'm originally from Reykjavik in Iceland. I moved to the United States in 2014 to study photography at Parsons School of Design in New York City. I stayed in New York shooting events for companies, corporations, nonprofits, and stuff like that. Occasionally doing weddings for friends of friends and people who found me on Instagram until I switched it up right before COVID, really good timing, as I was always curious about weddings. They kind of had this mirage to them for me, and corporate events are, you know, they pay bills, but they're not a lot of fun. And the few weddings that I had shot until then had been a lot of fun, a lot of partying and going out until late in the evening. So it always sort of eluded me to go full time as a wedding photographer. Uh-huh. And so that's what I did. And then COVID happened and we've moved around a lot. And as of summer 2024, I'll be based out of Connecticut. That's the short version.
Well, that's awesome. You're coming back to the East Coast. I'm in New York, so you'll be local.
Exactly. I'm excited to be back on the back near the ocean. That's what it is. That's what brings me back.
Yeah, the water. I can't live without the water, so I understand.
Exactly.
Well, I'm excited. So let's jump in because, you know, I said in the intro, like I received so many inquiries for proposals. And for me, I just feel like I don't even know what to do with that. So, you know, let's start by talking about, you know, why did you start shooting these surprise proposals or basically how did they start coming to you?
So I generated that traffic to my website by way of using SEO and content marketing to bring people who were looking for proposal locations and not necessarily looking for a photographer, and also by engaging, getting traffic from people who were searching for a proposal photographer who might have had like a location or a restaurant or something already set in place. Mm-hmm. It all kind of started when we moved to this area in Northwest Arkansas, I think 3 years ago. I had my business kind of ran on referrals, reoccurring clients, with companies and businesses and nonprofits. You kind of shoot an event every single month and you can have a reliable income from that. But when we moved, I lost all of my contacts. I wasn't getting like random weddings from Instagram or friends of friends. And I totally had to rethink my marketing strategy. That's when I, you know, went full steam ahead into organic Google search and SEO and content marketing, because I had no connections here. I didn't know anybody, and building up vendor relationships takes time. And I was looking for something that, you know, not necessarily the speed of Facebook ads, but something that I could grow, and then something that I could also take with me if I decided to move, which we're doing. So my kind of my website has already been optimized and just optimized for organic Google search. That's kind of what pushed me into looking into marketing opportunities on Google and how to get clients through organic search. And typically all the articles that I read initially that had to do with like blogging and content marketing advice that you should blog or create content around the things that brides and grooms search for before they hire a wedding photographer. And the idea behind this is that you will kind of spam them with your brand, your logo, your pictures when they're searching for venues, when they're searching for wedding planners, when they're searching for day of coordinators, when they're searching for bridal shops, wedding dresses, everything that kind of gets taken care of before they hire a photographer, you will have been seen. So when it comes time to hire a photographer, they already are familiar with your brand. And that's perfectly reasonable. And, you know, in my sort of quest to get further up ahead, I thought, well, why don't we just shoot proposals? Then you're one step ahead of everybody who's writing venue guides and where to shop for wedding dresses and stuff like that. So you also get that exclusive marketing opportunity to the couple before they even announce their engagement, really.
Right.
So that's kind of what pushed me to promote myself as a proposal photographer in this area. Yeah.
That's exciting. So you really like found a niche that no one else is really paying attention to. And you're like, I'm going to be the proposal guy. I'm going to like write all this content and then get these inquiries. And then how soon after you decided to make this shift in your new market, which I think is important to highlight, did you start getting inquiries from, I guess, maybe grooms or like the sister of the group? Like who is contacting you and how far in advance?
Yeah, it's usually the person who will be doing the proposing who reaches out. Occasionally it is one of the parents who are like extra excited about getting a new son-in-law or daughter-in-law. But yeah, I think after I published this article on my website, it took about a month or two before the inquiries started coming in. Yeah,
which is pretty fast. That's pretty fast.
It's pretty fast. I did not. If we go back into this kind of SEO dialogue here, I did not have a lot of competition in this market. Mm-hmm. It's a reasonably rural area. There's about 650, 700,000 people in my market, so it's not a huge market, so to say. And I only had like two other competitors who had content on their websites targeting proposals. And so it didn't take long to get some traffic going.
That's great. I wonder what it would be like for New York City or when you come back to Connecticut, if it still will be the same for you. It would be a good case study to sort of track and monitor. So now that you're like getting inquiries and people are hiring you for this, how did you price your packages or like proposal, you know, quotes to make them profitable? How did you sort of weave that into your, you know, whole business?
That is an awesome question, because I've gone the full scale here. Initially, I started pricing myself really low with the idea that I would get a lot of shoots in and have the marketing opportunity to sell them my wedding packages later on. It didn't really work out, to be honest with you. I didn't feel like the leads that I, well, the shoots that I was doing for kind of half price of what my normal portrait, like 1 hour portrait shoots would be, they didn't really convert that well anyway. So, and you know, you might not think that Northwest Arkansas is like a tourist area, but it gets a reasonable amount of outside traffic as well. So a lot of the shoots that I ended up doing for half price were like people who had been an alum, who are alumni of the University of Arkansas, who were coming home for a weekend to see a football game and wanted to squeeze in a surprise proposal. So I never really ended up getting, having a shot at getting the wedding anyway.
Right.
And in my research, well, in my sort of looking back at everything that I've done in the past 2 years or so, over half the people that have hired me are out of towners. Mm-hmm. So I never really had a shot at booking a wedding in Michigan or Oregon or, you know, wherever like they're out actually living in. So I, with that in mind, I raised my prices, and right now I'm charging about 20% more for proposals than my regular portrait rate, because it's a higher stakes moment. You can't redo it. There's a lot more prep that goes into it. And I deliver sneak peeks within 2 to 3 hours.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, that's fast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. So I love that your model, you decided you're charging a premium for the service because it is high stakes. Like that's, I think this is exactly why I don't do it because I'm so nervous. And like a wedding day is different. Like I'm conditioned for that. So I know what's going to happen pretty much. And like, you know, ready for anything, but proposal, I feel like, are you, you know, it's so high pressure. How do you deal with that? How do you deal with that pressure?
You over communicate. Mm-hmm. The lead kind of usually just comes in through my contact form. We set up a phone consultation or a Zoom meeting, and I really just go through the steps of how this is going to go. I typically offer three routes for the person who is doing who will be proposing to go with me. That is, number one is that it's completely candid. That's more like I'm hanging further in the back with my 70 to 200 lens and kind of capturing it from a distance without ever being noticed. The second route that I offer is kind of a fake photo shoot that turns into a proposal. Mm-hmm. So I give them some options, like, you know, they say they want to book a photographer for an upcoming birthday. Their mom is turning whatever, how old she's getting, and they're setting up a family photo shoot that allows the family to be there to celebrate with them. And so, you know, I have all these kind of ideas in mind that people can book a photographer for, then that photo shoot turns into a surprise proposal. And the third is kind of a hybrid of the both. It kind of relies on the location being at least notable, like a museum or a park or something like that, where the couple runs into me and I announce myself as like a newspaper photographer doing a story on like the sculptures in this park or the museum. And I have a lot of great pictures, but I need a couple like with people in it. And I ask them to kind of pose for a couple of shots for me. and then that shoot turns into a surprise proposal as well. So that's, and I throughout all these routes, I make sure that the person knows exactly where we're going to meet. They know exactly where we're going. Even for the candid, like the totally candid route, I will meet them in a location, and I will walk ahead of them, leading them up to the spot that the proposal is supposed to happen in. So I want to have as much kind of over communication in ongoing and kind of control the situation so that I can, you know, we're photographers. We like to have control over everything that we do, but, but yeah, that's my main tip, is just really over communicate, make diagrams, screenshot from Google Maps, put little dots where you're going to meet them at what time. And then at what time, put another dot where the location is, where the proposal will happen, and then where you're going to take it from there. So like you're completely over communicating, and everything should be on email so that there's like no, accidental Siri reading out some
Yeah, totally.
You know, stealth information from the photographer. So typically I keep it all on email until the day of, and then we're on text until the proposal. So they can text me on the day of.
Right. I got it. I love that. I love that you're so organized and you've got these three incredible options for people, really giving them a wonderful experience from the very beginning. And I think that's important when working with a photographer, is that you're earning your client's trust. So you're earning their trust like really right out of the gate, which is really, I think, really great. So when did you see that your business profits started to increase? And then did you realize that the proposals were the root cause of this?
I think about a year in, I would say. I mean, the goal was always to increase my wedding bookings because I didn't have a whole lot of traction with the market here to begin with. So I noticed it, I would say about a year in, that in addition to the proposals themselves being reasonably lucrative, I started getting inquiries from the couples that I previously shot. And I think I looked at this last December. Just getting over a cold here.
No worries.
So I looked at my numbers at the end of last year, and for about 20 months, I shot 25 proposals. 13 of them were with couples who live out of town who were never really going to book me for the wedding. 12 were with local couples. 3 of them ended up booking me for a wedding in 2023, which is about 11.5% increase of what I would have had as far as wedding goes.
That's great.
That year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, 2023 was a weird year for a lot of people. And 2024 is shaping up to be another kind of a tornado or a hurricane. A lot of people are complaining about inquiries right now, and you know,
they
come and go in sections. And like some weeks, you know, my inbox is a little bit flooded with inquiries, and then during the prime booking season in February, it was just crickets for like 2 weeks. So it's a weird spot to be in. So I'm genuinely happy that I had this system set up in place that I can rely on at least a few more weddings per year from this source.
Yeah, I love that. It's so smart. It's really, really great. I love it. So you mentioned you're 70 to 200. And I would love to know, like, what kind of, you know, is there any special gear or like clothing you have to wear if you're like hiding? Do you do this any time of the year? Like, just speaking from my own experience, like in the Northeast, like I don't work in the winter. Like it's just too cold. I learned that the hard way when I first started, like trying to have an engagement session in January just was terrible. Yeah. So like I, you know, have these like kind of like built-in rules. Like, all right, I'll see you in March or I'll see you in April. Like what do you do for these proposals? Are you just anywhere? You're up for it?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think that kind of comes down to brings out the adventure person in me. There's a lot of wild and rugged nature around in Arkansas, a lot of gorges, a lot of rivers, a lot of untouched woods, but people tend not to really go for those places for their proposals.
Mm-hmm.
And as it is in the Northeast, like things really slow down in January and February here, even though it's not, you know, we don't see nor'easters or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I typically don't have a lot of stuff lined up for January and February. There's a lot around the holidays and that break in and around Thanksgiving. And yeah, it's 50 degrees outside and it's cloudy. So it's kind of like cold sweater weather most of the time here. So we don't really have to worry as much about the cold as it is up in New York City. So
yeah,
I would definitely, yeah. In wintertime, if for proposals, I tend to tell my potential clients that they should probably book a restaurant or at least have like a plan B in place that allows for an inside shoot.
Yeah, that's good. That's good advice.
I never have had that happen, but for the December, January, February stuff, I would recommend that, like, maybe have a restaurant reservation booked that you can cancel the day before. If anything looks bad on the weather forecast.
Yeah. And so do you just use your 70 to 200? Like, is there special gear other than that long lens? Do you have anything longer?
I have nothing longer. My little trick with the 200 is shoot horizontal and crop vertical if we need to get a little bit closer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love that.
That's good. So I would love like a little story, like a little dirt. Like, what is the craziest like surprise proposal you've ever photographed? Is there anything that you've like still thinking about, you haven't recovered from, or are they all pretty tame?
I would say I don't have like a wild and crazy story. I, you know, when I got into this, I thought that, you know, you talk about these things as surprise proposals, but it never is a full surprise to be completely honest with you. It's like, when you think about it, really, it's totally wild that you've spent 2-3 years with a person and then you completely surprise them and you ask them to spend the rest of their lives with you. So I always ask my clients on consult calls, like, have you talked about marriage before? Like, on the scale of 1 to 10, how much are they expecting it to happen? So I've never really had like a no, like, or somebody walking away or, you know, anything crazy like that happen. The one thing was like, the guy had rented out a tipi tent on just out in the total wilderness here in Arkansas, and he went with route number 2, where he like booked a photo shoot, and that was supposed to turn into a surprise proposal, and I showed up and they were not totally ready yet. And they were a little bit tipsy, and we ended up like kind of walking around the woods. And because this was pretty far away from where I live, I didn't show up. You know, I have never been there before. So I was kind of like, I told the guy like, okay, we're going to get there. We're going to take 20, 30 minutes to do some portraits, and I'm going to scout out a location, and you're just going to go with it. And I'm going to kind of run the show, and I'm going to like, you're going to know exactly when to get down on one knee, because I'm going to ask your partner to do some headshots so that she can use on LinkedIn and stuff like that. And that'll be like your signal to bring the ring out. And so that happened. We found kind of a nice overlook with sunset in the background. And we did that. I took some pictures of her, and I could sense that she felt what was going on. And then she ended up turning around and she just froze for 20 seconds. He stood there and I kept clicking the shutter button, and it was just like 20 seconds of awkwardness. And it felt like she just had like a little, like the hard drive just like took a little hit there in her brain, and she had to think about the situation.
She's rebooting.
She was rebooting, exactly. That was one of those moments when I was like internally thinking like, oh my gosh, is this it? Is this when, and we're like completely stranded out in the wilderness here. It's not like, you know, I can just thank them for the session and just drive off. We're like, we're already 10 minutes away from where the car is. It's like, is this going to be the awkward moment? But she had that reboot moment, and then she said yes, and they hugged and kissed, and they were actually just married a couple of months ago.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, good. Yeah. I never even thought about people saying no. I guess you're right. Like, you're with that person for a while and then you're like, all right, let's do it. But I don't know if someone says no, I don't even know what you would do. You'll have to come back and let us know if that happens. Hopefully it doesn't. You'd be like,
I hope it does.
You have it in your contract. It's like no money back, like yes or no, we're in for it.
No, I don't. I don't think so. I just hope it never happens.
No. So bad. So I would love to know, now that you're in this, like, you've been doing this a couple of years now and you've got these proposals under your belt and your processes and your pricing, when you, I may, you know, come back to the East Coast, like, are you going to still do this? Like, is this still something you're going to pursue to do proposals here?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love doing this. It's for me, it's like you talked about the pressure on a wedding day. This is kind of that same pressure that happens like in the last 20 minutes of the getting ready pictures until the ceremony. It's like you have all those jitters. It's just like, is this going to go wrong? Is this going to go wrong? I can't believe it. No, my God, grandma's not here. And like, oh my God, you know, all that stress, but you're in like nature with all those emotions and like all that anticipation happening in your belly and all those butterflies and like, are they here? Where is the guy? Like, what kind of car are they driving again? Wait, is that them? No, they're not here. Okay. And then like all that, all those like anticipation moments that happen on a wedding day are happening in those shoots. And like, I kind of feed off of that adrenaline, to be honest with you. So
that's awesome. Sure. That's cool. Awesome. Well, as we wrap things up, I would love for you to give our listeners 3 tips on getting started with proposals. What would they be and why?
Totally. The first thing is you want to have an informative piece of content on your website that that talks about surprise proposals in your area. That could be your city, that could be your state, that could be like a region that you serve, but you want to mention that in kind of the titles of your page, that you mention like surprise proposals or proposal locations along with the service area. That's the number one tip that I would recommend. Write a piece of content. And for me, what I think worked the best is that this article that I wrote was able to capture 2 searcher intents for Google queries. So when somebody searches for a proposal location in New York City, let's go with that, they're looking for information. They're not necessarily looking to make a purchase or hire somebody for services. And then when somebody searches surprise proposal photographer, it signals that they're a little bit more ready to make a hire. They're looking to make a purchase. So definitely make sure that you include keywords in your article that cover both topics or cover both intents, so that you're also you're providing location information and perhaps like some outfit information as well, like what you should wear on a summer day, what you should wear in winter, something like that, so that you're capturing the people who are searching for information and not necessarily know that there is an option to have it professionally photographed. So that you're able to capture that traffic. And then also use some keywords and headings that include more transactional keywords like surprise proposal photographer, surprise proposal photography in New York, so to say. So that would be kind of my number one and two. And I think I think the last tip that I would get is really nurture the relationship that you have with a couple immediately after. That's what I try to do. I deliver the sneak peeks the night of, like just 4 to 5 pictures that they can share on Instagram. And the fact that they're on Instagram allows me to follow them on Instagram. It allows me to kind of comment and like their posts. I don't do a lot of like pushy sales through email after that as well, but I try to provide them with value. I send them like other articles that I have on my website that are related to the beginning stages of wedding planning, like what's the best time to have your ceremony, stuff like that. So I just try to like email them information and just stay on top of mind for the first month or two.
Yeah.
And then at the end of maybe like 2 to 3 months, I literally just, you know, I send them my pricing page for weddings and I flat out say, I would love to shoot your wedding. I really enjoyed working with you. And if you have a date set, I would love to know it so that I can give you my availability.
Right. And then what I get, that's like another question before I let you go is like, If you're not doing a hard sell, not that I think that you should, but like, how do you, well, you just explained how you like keep in contact with them and like want to win their, tell them that you want to work with them, you're asking for it. Like, do they reply back to you like, oh, we went with someone else, or thank you so much, but you know, we'd love to set up a call. Like, what is sort of like that ratio look like? Because I think for me, that's my biggest concern is like when I do these one-off sessions or one-off things, they don't end up hiring me for their full wedding because they want to go with somebody else, or the partner in the client, in the couple wants something totally different than like my style or your style. Like, how do you deal with that?
I've definitely had that happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, as I mentioned, I think 25% of the time, at least with the local couples here, I ended up getting hired for the wedding. 75% of the time, they went with something else. I think that's just normal. I think I have a reasonable sample size now that I can expect that somewhere between 20 and 30% of the time you're going to get hired for the wedding.
Yeah.
And the other 70 to 80% of the time, like, you might be out of budget, that you might be just a little bit too expensive, maybe the person just splurged on the engagement, which is totally known to happen, and then they're just like $2,000 to $3,000 lower for their wedding photo budget.
Right.
That's definitely happened in the past for me. Sometimes people just run off and elope, and there's nothing you can really do about that.
Totally. So,
but yeah, I really try to emphasize that I'm not like, you know, pushing a sale through the process, because, you know, you kind of already established this relationship by shooting the proposal and then doing like the portraits and the ring pictures afterwards. So I try to keep it just kind of as friendly as possible. But I totally understand that my style of photography is not gonna, or like what I charge isn't gonna vibe with everybody, and that's just how it goes. But I'm genuinely happy that 20 to 30% of those who end up hiring me for the 20 to 30% of clients end up hiring me for the wedding as well.
I love that. I love that you've got like a level head about it, and you've taken out the sort of emotion. Like, you kind of already know that they 20 to 30% will hire you, and that's good for you. And you've priced yourself accordingly where it's profitable, and you're increasing your, you know, yearly income with these proposals, and you're making a nice business for yourself and a nice name. So I think it's really great and really inspiring. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, before we let you go, let's tell everybody where they can find out more about you, your services, and say hello online.
Totally. Yeah. My name is Kari Bjorn. My website is karibjorn.com. That is KARIBJORN.com. Instagram is the same, except for an underscore at the end for good measure. I'm not on TikTok because it scares the living crap out of me to handle more than one social account. So, yeah.
That's funny and true. I'm the same way.
Yeah. Instagram and website are my thing.
I love it. Okay, cool. Well, all this information will be in the show notes. You guys can swipe on up right now, click on the links, and let Kari know you listened to today's episode. Kari, thank you so much for being here. It was a pleasure getting to talk to you, and hope to have you back real soon.
Absolutely. My pleasure. And thank you so much for having me.
Well, that's it, you guys. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Thank you to Kari for being our wonderful guest today. It was a joy to speak, and hopefully I'll run into you in the Northeast soon. If you guys want to find more about Kari and his services, swipe on up, click on the show notes, and let him know you listened to today's episode. All right, you guys, can't wait to share our next cup of tea together. Bye.